Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. The first commandment with promise, notice Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, unquote. Exodus 20, verse 12. Notice the condition for living long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee would be to honor thy father and mother. Any person who mistreats their father or mother has brought a curse upon themselves. Unbelievable that we would do such. Proverbs 20, verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. So again, we see the first commandment with promise, and that would be that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So apparently attached to honoring our parents is a blessing of long life. And what would that mean if we don't honor our parents? Well, could that mean that our life could be shortened, that we don't have the protection that we would otherwise have by being in obedience to the Lord? And what does that say for us as individuals if we don't honor our parents? It doesn't say anything good, because right here we see that it is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Again, promises given and conditions that must be met in order to reap or to receive the reward or the promise. So to honor, by the way, somebody might be thinking, what does it mean to honor my parents? To honor simply means to highly esteem. And that does not mean that you have to agree with everything your parents think or say, but honor them. Either way is the command of God. Does the Bible say to honor our parents, but only if they're perfect? No. And thank God, because none of us are perfect, and that would include parents. No parent is perfect. And yet, our ultimate parent is the Lord, our Father, that is, who commands us to honor our father and mother, that he brought us into the world through and who provided for us, etc. So God has a plan, and it's the only perfect plan. If you follow it, your life will be blessed. Could sum up what we're reading here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And does it seem like it's easier for some children to honor their parents than it is for others? Does their relationship with their parents seem more fluent? At least in some cases, could it be due to the graciousness that the parents fostered in their children? Genuine love governing and fostering a sincere relationship. Notice the end of this passage in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. We have the instruction for fathers not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up in both the nurture, they're to be nurtured, and boy, won't that make for a great foundation in a child's life for the rest of his life on earth, is that if he's nurtured. In fact, recently I saw a study, they did a long-term study. It was a 35-year study where children that were born and were nurtured a little bit were a little bit successful. And those that were nurtured much, especially by their mother, were very successful. And children that were overnourished, catch this, were extremely nourished and nurtured, were extremely successful. Very interesting. So we're to bring them up, quote, in the nurture and admonition. That would include correction and guidance, instruction, etc., of the Lord. And as we do, that is going to fare well in their future, in their lives, in their success, in their blessedness. So God has a plan, and it's the only perfect plan, and that would include to honor our parents. Brother David Taylor writes the following, an exhortation on honoring our parents. He says, "Hope you are enjoying mom today, brother, with blessings." I guess that was around Mother's Day. "Please do so. Mine is gone. I took her for granted during her life, not honoring her, not loving her as I should have." What's that old saying, quote, "You never know what you have till it's gone," unquote. In a moment of great candor, Brother David Taylor notes that. Wow, incredible exhortation. Thank you, Brother David. So the greatest heritage we give our children is God's Word. Remember that, saints. It's not money. In fact, many have destroyed their children by giving them money without them working for it, and it caused them to not serve the Lord, and they died and went to hell. You can read Psalm 49 about that. Psalm 119, verse 111, the greatest heritage we give our children is the Word of God. Notice Psalm 119, verse 111 says, "Thy testimonies," that's the words of God, "have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." So the heritage of the Lord is the Word of God. And that's why we read in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go." And that's going to come from the Word of God. "And when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 22, verse 6. So we gain our wisdom on how to bring up our children, not just raise them, but to train them in the right ways of the Lord, sharing how God is working in her life concerning her relationship with her beloved mother. Karen Cochran writes the following. She says, "I had to die to being right. Pride. How could I love my mother with the love of Jesus? How would she see Jesus in me? She would not see him in me in all my pride and arrogance. By being full of pride, all I did was stir up strife." Proverbs 10:12, Karen notes, says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins," unquote. She continues, "Because she," Karen's mother, "would retaliate and would be angry, I had to learn to keep my mouth shut. And it has completely changed our relationship. But first, the Lord had to change me and cleanse me from my know-it-all attitude and my pride. I went to the Lord and said, 'Lord, why is she," that is her mother, "so mean to me? The Lord straightened me out quick. It was me, not her. I couldn't control her. All I could do was allow God to root out what was the sin in me," unquote. Amen. So true. And this concerns every one of us. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. How about the Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10? "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." And we can see the wisdom of God leading Sister Karen in that well-advice of the wisdom of God was to be humble. Because what pride cometh before contention. Boy, if you really stop to think about this verse and meditate on it and memorize it, write it on an index card, Proverbs 13, verse 10, of course, and always, from the King James Bible. Only, notice the word only by pride cometh contention. So how does contention between two people, that's any two people in any relationship, parents and children or otherwise, husbands, wives, or just everybody around you and I, and notice only by what comes contention? So how does contention come? Only by pride. cometh contention. Very interesting and very much a great revelation for all of us. It's only when I have pride reigning in my life, that would mean I'm not crucified with Christ and humbled before Him. That's when contention's going to come. Only by pride cometh contention. Now, other people around us are going to be full of pride, that's for sure. But in order not to complete that circle, it's only by pride that contention comes. So when we walk in Christ's humility, that's going to quench the contention. That's going to cause it to be avoided, because it's only by pride that contention comes. Proverbs 13, verse 10. And we'll finish with James, speaking of humility versus pride. James chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 6. Notice, but he, that's God, giveth more grace, or more divine enablement and divine influence on our hearts. God gives more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth, or sets himself against the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Wow. So in order to receive more grace from God, that comes in coincidence and commensurate with humility. So he giveth, or but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, verse 7, therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So in submitting ourselves afresh to the Lord in repentance, fresh repentance and confession of all sin, then we're standing in Christ, because we cannot stand in the Savior and in sin at the same time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We cannot dwell in sin, and pride is sin, and also the Savior simultaneously. That's very seldom, I should say, taught in the professing body of Christ. Unfortunately, Jesus, the Bible says, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth, that is, remains in him, is continuing in him, sinneth not, or does not live in sin. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. 1 John 3, verse 5 and 6. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. So for so many claim, oh, I'm in Christ. If you're living in sin, you're not in Christ. You can't dwell simultaneously in sin and still be in Christ, who is holy, holy, holy. You're kidding no one but yourself. And let me encourage you to read 1 John 3 every morning this week in prayer, and take it to heart and let it own your life, my friend. So submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Verse 7, James 4. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The only way to get the devil to flee from you is to freshly submit yourself to God, and it's only then that you have his authority in you, because you're now in him to resist the devil. And it doesn't say he might choose to flee from you. No, it says he will flee from you. It's definitive. He's gone. The only foothold Satan has in our lives is when we have sin in our lives that's not confessed. As we repent, we return to the Lord afresh, and we ask him to wash us, confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 8, draw nigh, or close, to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him. So we are to draw nigh to God by submitting ourselves afresh to him in repentance and confession of sin, and then the times of refreshing are going to come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Amen. That's a season of repentance right there. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Remember again, Proverbs 13:10, it's only by pride. And what's the opposite of pride? Humility. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised, those that are advised by the word, the wisdom of God, which we are reading here in this message, are going to prosper. Because with the well-advised is wisdom. They walk in the Word. They live according to the Word, which is the wisdom of God. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we ask you to grant the multiplication of your grace in our hearts to divinely influence us to humility, Lord. You were the ultimate servant on the earth when you came to die for our sins. You chose rather to come and die for us rather than live without us. You humbled yourself even unto death of the cross, where you laid down your life and shed your precious blood to redeem us back to you. Now, Lord, we admit that we have not been crucified with you as we should. We ask you to anoint our hearts and help us now to be dead and buried with you, Lord, crucified with Christ truly. And thereby, we know you're going to raise us upward. We know you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And we know that you said that if we humble ourselves, we're going to be exalted by you. If we humble ourselves in death and burial, you're going to raise us up, resurrection. But if we raise ourselves up, we're going to be humbled. Heavenly Father, we know by your word that you want to raise us up to fulfill your perfect will in all things, which would include to honor our father and mother. Lord, we say with Paul and we pray that let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Let it be in us, O God, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then came the resurrection. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.